Well, one of the things that we learned in this thing that we talked about is that we shouldn't chase somebody else's idea.
That's so good.
Or dream. We need to get our own, like, yes. What is our promised land?
Yes. Welcome to the Wealth Builders Podcast, and I'm so grateful that you tuned in today. I have a very special guest. I would have to say my favorite guest, my husband, Dave Metcalf. Dave, thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me, and you're actually my favorite person to be on camera with because you're so amazing. Karen is the CEO of Amazing. If you haven't figured that one out, she's so incredible.
You're so funny.
She told me to look at the camera if I was making a point.
Oh my goodness. Well, welcome to our world, right? A little insight. So again, we're just so glad that you joined us, and we're really excited about today's topic. We're going to be talking about real estate, but in particular, we've got a little PowerPoint here, the real estate pursuit. And Dave, do you want to give them like the tagline with that?
Certainly. And just a little bit of a backdrop story. For the last few days, we've been kind of wondering what we're going to talk about. And we knew we were going to talk about real estate, but what kind of came together today is the idea that when you are pursuing real estate, it's like your promised land. God has promised each of you as individuals and whatever kind of investment strategy you're in. And I would just qualify and say, I'm not an expert and I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just saying that if you discover what God is telling you to do, and it may be real estate, that in that promise, there's going to be challenges.
Yes.
And the Bible gives us some really good challenges historically so that we can avoid those challenges and find our place of our own promised land.
Yeah, it's so good. And anything that we pursue that God's called us to, there are going to be some challenges. But the good news is He is there with us. He can bring us victory in everything. And anytime you do anything big or you step out into your call or your destiny, you just have to realize that there are going to be some things that come up. And so we've been visiting. Matter of fact, earlier today, we did a real estate market overview webinar. And we really believe we are in a window of time here where there's an opportunity to really get in the game with real estate. Mm-hmm. And just to give a little background on that, Billy's been, and you all know this, you've been watching and listening for a while. But about 2 years ago, Billy started to explain the time that would be the opportunity to be able to get into real estate. And then it was about 2 or 3 months ago, he said, this is the time. Mm-hmm. And so this is really good timing on this because we're in this window of opportunity to really look at the times, like the men of Issachar. Mm-hmm. They knew the times that they were in and they knew what to do. And we have all of that because we have Jesus.
Yeah, we do have Jesus. And, you know, something the Bible doesn't mention, but I can guarantee you there were women of Issachar. And usually women know before the men. I mean, it's kind of like they just have this idea and then the guys catch up with it. So I think they should be listed in there with the men of Issachar. But I also wanted to clarify that Billy, when he made those statements, he was saying personally, this is my time. And he wasn't saying it's for everybody, but he was just saying, these are the things I look at for myself. Yeah. And this is the market, how I study it. And this is where I'm at in my personal decision to make choices now in the market. And I think everybody has to kind of like find their personal timeline. And that's the beauty of the Issachar, is that they knew the time and what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's something that God drops on us, is the time and the knowledge of what to do, which is really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And so for looking at the economic indicators right now, the Fed just dropped the rate and they may drop it again by the time this airs. And so everything's kind of lining up from a market perspective as well. But I like how you said that, because if you're called to do real estate, God is definitely going to show you the place. He's going to show you the time. He's going to help you line things up. But it's also important that you get the knowledge and understanding to be able to apply that wisdom so that when we go into a market like we have, we're prepared, we know what to look for, and we have that much better opportunity for success.
Right, right.
So anyway, as we go through this and look at our promised land, I like how you said that the area that God has called us to, there are some areas that we can study in the Bible that shows us sort of a little bit about that pathway. And we can learn from some things that people did maybe right, maybe things that they didn't do right. But I really like in this too, Dave, how you kind of uncover what God has said to people. And then we can talk about how we can apply that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the promised land part that we're talking about, God specifically gave them a large vision of territory. And at the same time, he said, don't just rush in there and try to do everything at one time, because he didn't want them to overextend their resources, which is a really good lesson for us today. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want them to place themselves in a situation where they could fail, because there are some challenges. Now, the challenges were, in their day, seven nations that Deuteronomy chapter 7 actually lists. God says, these seven nations are your challenges. And God was going to help them navigate taking over and getting rid of the challenges. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the representation. Now, the interesting thing about these seven nations is they all end with ites. So you got the Canaanites and the Hittites and the, just if you're thinking parasite or termite, it all works together. So God is essentially saying, I want you to take your promised land in bites and get rid of the ites.
Oh, little bites. My goodness.
Like one bite at a time. Okay, let's get started here.
I knew there would be a pun. There had to be a pun.
Okay. Well, with those comments, I would say that one of the things that God specifically mentioned is he wanted them to operate with boundaries that were healthy. Really, and this good. Is something that you talk about. This is something that Billy and Miss Becky talk about. That healthy boundaries, and you do actually workshops on this where you put the median price and looking. So boundaries are essentially tried and true, safe approaches to getting you to your destination. And this is something that God was bringing up. And he was wanting them to have boundaries so that they would be successful. And I was thinking about this the other day because I was coming down this really windy road in Manitou.
Yeah.
I was visiting with somebody. And if you didn't stick in the boundaries,
you'd be going right over.
I mean, that's a big drop. So you're really careful making these turns and really watching the boundaries. And this is something that God has always historically talked about, and it applies to real estate. And the second thing is God didn't want them to just chase something. He wanted them to move intelligently and not just step out in the danger place, which is still related to boundaries.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing for us to know. Well, one of the things that we learned in this thing that we talked about is that we shouldn't chase somebody else's idea.
That's so good.
Or dream. We need to get our own, what is our promised land?
Yes.
And in the situation with Abraham and Lot, Lot actually chased after Abraham's dream. And Lot was supposed to go to Ur, U-R, but he's moving with Abraham, and they end up separating because even though he was blessed hanging out with Abraham, it wasn't his destiny. And
it's
he had
so
to
good.
Figure that out. And I think when we go in and we realize, okay, I'm not going to chase after somebody else's idea. I'm going to get the ideas for me.
That's
and you're
really
good at describing that, even in your book, The Promise of Purpose, because you talk about identifying purpose in your life. And
it's good. I think, too, sometimes when this happens in ministry a lot, we see a minister and we want to be just like them. You know, so for me, I could say I want to be just like Joyce Meyer. She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not Joyce Meyer. Right. And so what is it that God has me do? And even in real estate, I think we all have an area that God calls us to. Mike Davis talks about this a lot, that, you know, there is an area that we are called to. And then Dan Dyer talks about how when we go into those areas, we go in and make them beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, we sometimes have an assignment to bring transformation or beauty to an area. Mm-hmm. But if we, in just talking about real estate now, if we say, well, I want to invest over here because someone else is investing over there and we're not called to it, you're exactly right. We need to find out, even in real estate and, of course, our overall destiny, mm-hmm. what has God called us to do? And you could even bring it a step further. Am I to do long-term rentals, flips, vacation rentals? But where is that sweet spot that God has for us? And we found as a family that He's given us a mix of gifts and talents, mm-hmm. right? So we've kind of looked too and said, well, where are we called to? But then what are the skills, the gifts, and talents that we have that we can deploy in our business? Mm-hmm. So go back to this situation with Lot. So he chose to not go with the destiny he was called to. Mm-hmm. And just unpack that story a little bit.
Okay, we're going to unpack it just a little bit because we're going to bring out the full part down the road.
Oh, got it.
This is going to be a whole different podcast on the lies that the enemy wants you to believe that actually cancels out your potential and destiny.
Oh.
Yeah. And so in Lot's case, he didn't have his destiny going together. And in that, which really speaks to a family environment, his daughters, they believed the lie that God could not provide a husband. So instead of believing that God was their source and he could provide, they believed that lie that he couldn't provide. And so they had to take it upon themselves. Oh. And when they took it upon themselves, everybody knows the story. They got their dad drunk. They had sexual relations with him and got pregnant by their own father and had children. That became the Ammonites. And so one of the things we have to watch out in our life, and this is the only one we're going to do on, because there's the Adamites, Edomites, and the other. These are different mites. All these ites, anything with ites in it is usually a problem. But their problem was they didn't believe God is their source, and they believed a lie. They took it upon themselves. Mm. And when they took upon life by themselves and thought, I've got to do this. Yeah. No one's protecting me. No one's got me covered. Then they just fell into destruction. It's really sad.
That's really sad. And actually, that's the case too with Abraham and Sarah. It's a family thing.
Yeah. But what we're going to talk about today is we're going to get back to the seven nations.
Yes,
that God warned about seven nations. And each nation, the interesting thing is they have a name. And in Hebrew, each name actually has a meaning. And as you look at the meaning and the history of that nation, mm-hmm. now these are kind of like people groups that lived within a geographical area of the promised land of Canaan. So we're going to talk about them. And the first one we're going to talk about is the Hittites. So the Hittites, now this is all found in Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you can read more about it, but this is the warning God gave, look out for these seven nations. And the Hittites, their word in Hebrew actually means terror.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So these were the giants. These were the people that caused the Israelites to fear them. And the lesson here is don't get wrapped up in the fear of man.
That's really good.
You've got to have your fear in the Lord. And that is a healthy fear because it's awe, it's worship, it's reverence. And the verse here is really, we only fear God, not man. Proverbs 29:25 says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So these big terror people were trying to cause confusion and discouragement and intimidation. And Israel had to struggle with the whole insecurity of the fear of man.
Nice.
And you've been talking about this recently. I know you've got other thoughts, but you brought it up to me about how people could look at the market and fear of what man is saying could really displace them from their land.
It really does, because anytime that you go into something that God's called you to, there is going to be some pushback on it. A lot of times it could even be just in our own mind, or like you're saying, we're just not leaning into God. But I really think in this, it's encouraging, because when God's called you to do something, when He's called us to do something, He only has success in mind. Mm-hmm. But if we agree with fear or not success, it can actually move us over in that direction, but that was never God's plan. Mm-hmm. And so the things that we are hearing with the news, there's been some things that have been talked about just financial devastation, but that's where we get with the Lord. And it's like, Lord, what do you have to say to me right now? Because God can protect us anytime. And a lot of the history with the Bible is people have sowed in famine. I mean, God's people have thrived in times of famine or unrest. So I really like this. I've never really tied this together before, but you're right. The giants that can come in our life aren't necessarily physical giants like they might be here, but they might be giants in our mind because we might be listening to the wrong voice.
Absolutely. And that's why we magnify or make larger the Lord. Because if we don't, then these intimidating, it could be an economic giant or a relational situation that we just think is like so huge and so big, we get intimidated and we're afraid, you know, we kind of like get paralyzed.
Yeah, that's really good.
So we trust in the Lord and we are kept safe. Okay, the next eight. This is the, I'm not going to say their names very well. I'm glad they're not here listening to this. Girgashites.
Girgashites.
But this particular people group, they dwelled on clay soil, and they would be the type that would go on pilgrimages. And the point is, they were built on clay, and they weren't stable in their mindset. They were constantly moving in a clay manner. Wow. And this relates to how God was teaching the Israelites to be solid in their thinking. Jesus takes it a step further and says, when you act on what I give you to do in Luke chapter 6, then you're building on a rock. But if you're not listening to me, you're building on a foundation that's just going to get washed
shifting
away.
Shifting sand.
Yeah.
So is this also something that would tie to wavering? Like when somebody's feels like, okay, we're called to do this and we bring it back to real estate, we're going to invest in real estate, and then something happens and all at once they're like, oh, did I miss God? And they go back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then in that also actually brings in fear because it's like, did I really hear from God?
Yeah. And that's a real potential for people to happen. Like, we are designed as sons and daughters of God to go from strength to strength, glory to glory. And what happens is sometimes people approach maybe investments and what they're doing as a dabbler, and they get into it just enough to get their like feet wet or exposure, and it looks overwhelming. So they're on this constant pilgrimage where they're on just clay territory and nothing's ever really being established because they just can't stick with something. And you've talked about this.
Yes.
Especially with the short-term rental market.
Yes.
You've got to be willing to stay in the game.
You really do. I always tell people that if you're going to be concerned about, you know, cash, if you don't have a reserve, or if you're going to be concerned because you're seeing, you know, wow, this month we did this, short-term rentals are not for you. Mm-hmm. But we knew that going in, and so we're in for the long haul, but we've conditioned ourselves to weather ourselves for those ups and downs. But, you know, Dave, this reminds me of, I just got a text this last week from one of our coaching friends, our coaching clients. And they had gone through real estate coaching, then they went through the advanced real estate coaching, and they had stepped out into purchasing a short-term rental. And they knew going in, right? They went in pretty big, but then they started to run into some problems. And in that, they started to question if they were even supposed to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that because we had some conversations with that. But now I just got a text, like they are doing amazing. They've just reached their goals and they're on the other side of that. But as coaching in our coaching family, that's a lot of what we do is to help people to navigate through and not get into these ites. And it just hit me as you were talking about this, because when there are those things coming up, we also need to be surrounded by people that can help us to see things from a non-emotional perspective, or if we start stepping into fear, to establish relationships, or in this case, you know, with us as friends and coaches around them, some guides, we were able to help them to get out of this mindset and get back on that stable ground and stay the course. And so it was just so amazing to get that text that they're on the other side, and just how their life has just been really changed as a result of them staying with it. Because the enemy was trying to get them to sell, get out, and they would have missed so much of what God had planned for them.
Yeah, so important. You've mentioned before quite a bit, consistency.
Consistency.
You've got to be consistent.
Yeah.
And that was the challenge with these people is, and the interesting thing is, when you start to take land and territory, the people that have dominion there, you bump into their way of thinking.
Yeah.
So if you're not in the Israelites.
That's really a good point. Say that again.
If you are in a domain that you're taking.
Yeah.
And there's like a particular philosophical outlook or business practices, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. And you're in that area, if you're not careful, some of that thinking can transfer into your own thinking.
It's good.
And you come under the influence of that domain.
That's really good.
Yeah. So Israel here, they were having challenges, you know, building life on clay. And there's a verse in Isaiah 28:16 that says, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm the one who's laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. I mean, he's trying to make a point here.
Yeah.
This is like a tested stone, a stone, yeah. It's a precious stone, it's a sure foundation. And whoever believes will not be in haste. Well, the haste is that part where people are moving around and they just can't settle in. And I think this is a word of encouragement to people. If you're just getting like started in the real estate journey, like we've been there.
Yes, absolutely.
You just have to like not get hasty.
It's so true, to be patient and then not jump from one thing to the next.
Right.
Just stay with it.
Because every jump is an economic output.
That's so right? True. Yeah, and it then, is. That's really good.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Do we have another ite?
We're ready for another ite. This is the Amorites. That's an easier one to say. The Amorites. This is boastful. These were people who were arrogant and boastful in their speech. And they're really challenging. Their pride led them actually to find fault in others. And a person in pride, or a person who's constantly looking at the fault of others, they're not going to see things very well. The scripture that we have here is Proverbs 8:13, that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And he says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech.
It's really good.
So one of the things that God was teaching them as they entered the land is to not be prideful. And you know where we're going on this. In Deuteronomy 8:18, God had to remind them, hey, don't get all proud on me.
Yes.
See, this was the battle. They're going into their promised land, and they're in a territory where the dominion, the spirit, overwhelming spirit of this nation is prideful. And he's telling them ahead of time, don't get in that land and get all prideful yourself. But remember, it's me. Hey, I'm the guy who is making this happen.
He's given us the power to get wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And does this happen when, let's say you step into, you know, maybe just, we'll just talk about investing in real estate, and you start to have success. So I know like people do this in jobs too. So they all at once don't even know it, but they've actually started to look at themselves as a source because they've had success, and not lean into God,
mm-hmm.
or not recognize that it's absolutely God's work that's mm-hmm. in and through us to make this happen.
Yeah, that's the tie-in. God told them ahead of time. And the interesting thing about that is God doesn't just waste words. Yeah. So if there wasn't a problem that would present itself, he wouldn't need to mention it. Why even bring it up? But because he knew that they were walking into this domain of the Amorites, who are very proud and arrogant, that they themselves, the children of Israel, on the promises of God, might start thinking, hey, we kind of did this.
We did this.
And I think that's a big trap when we're going, like in our context here, we're talking about going into your promised land of real estate. Mm-hmm. And when you're going in there, just keep yourself humble. Yeah. And don't think all of a sudden you made it happen, because God is out working through favor and grace upon our lives, and he's given that creative power. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good reminder just to be in remembrance of,
that's so good.
How did I get here? It was God.
That's so good. And you know, a key to that is to be thankful. You know, just like I was the other night, I was on the counter and I was just kind of looking back at, it was on real estate, and I was listing out our properties and kind of where we bought them at, where they are today. And I was doing that because I wanted to put myself in remembrance to what God had already done. And it was really a humbling experience to do that and realize that so much of what is accomplished when we just say, God, we're going to cooperate with you here, it's like supernatural. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great place to be when you just look and say, wow, God, I can't believe what you've done. But that also helps keep us in that place of humility to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. So I think what you're referring to might be helpful to give a little explanation.
Yeah.
We have kind of like on a piece of paper, our little orchard.
We do.
And trying to avoid broccoli. Yes. You can explain that. So we have this little orchard, and the beauty is we thank the Lord for what our orchard looks like.
Yes.
And we're not trying to covet somebody else's
yes.
little orchard.
Yeah, that is so true. And we just know we're clear in what we do. And we're around a lot of, as all of you are, we're around successful people. And which is good. You want to be around successful people, but just because they've got a successful path, it's for us, and we talk about this a lot, what has God called us to do? Because in that, there's the blessing, there's the rest, there's the peace, right? Mm-hmm. There's the ease of things. And if we start to get out and try to do things on our own outside of that, or like someone else, you know, it's just not as smooth. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. There's a lot of good teaching on the orchard for those.
There is.
Yeah. For those of you who want to know more about this, you can go to wealthbuilders.org.
Yeah.
And the orchard is a powerful teaching, and it also ties into the triple X factor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go to wealthbuilders.org, and even if you go in, there's a search button, and if you type in orchard, all our blog articles will come up on that, and you will learn a lot from that. But as you mentioned too, there is, Billy goes in depth with that in the triple X factor. So Dave, we're going to continue this discussion and talk more about real estate. This has been really fun. I've actually learned a lot in our discussion, which I always do.
Me too.
It seems like things come out as we visit.
Yeah.
But I have a free download offer for you today. Billy has got this mini book that is called The Top 10 Secrets of Real Estate Investing, How to Grow Your Portfolio Faster. And he wants to get this in your hands completely free. So you can go to wealthbuilders.org/top 10. And you can get a free download of this mini book. And it's really amazing. Like, you'll learn a lot just from this book on how to move through. A lot of it is on financing and things to get moving. Also, we are doing a joint conference or seminar with Bill Bronchek. And it is December 6th and 7th. It's a very small number of people. And the topic, it's called Vacation Rentals for Profit and Fun. And it's what we call an intensive seminar. So this is a format we've not done before, but the Friday night is going to be a very small VIP dinner where we're going to have dinner together, prayer, some activation, just networking. And then it is a one-day intensive seminar on vacation rentals on that Saturday. So to learn more about that, go to wealthbuilders.org/events. Dave, do you have any final words for our family here today?
Well, yeah, God loves you very much, and he's going to help you stay in safe places. And all you have to do is just follow his voice, and he'll lovingly guide you and empower you to do that.
Amen. Thank you. And thanks all of you for joining us today. We'll see you next week on the Wealth Builders podcast. God bless you, and make it a great rest of the day.